Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Money song! Money song!
It's also the Apprentice song, but whatever.
Money song!
One of the best bass lines ever. Mount Rushmore yeah. Bass lines.
Oh, for sure.
Yep. Agreed. By the way, you could join the 411 Pain WQAM Street Team this Sunday, 1 o'clock, Slackers in Fort Lauderdale. Watch the game, enjoy the Modelo specials, and register for a chance to win a cooler and a 40-inch TV. You can get all the details at WQAM.com. Our friend, as that song signifies, Rob Pizzola, is joining us. We'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler. He joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock, and today is no different. And he is not trying to sell you anything. We don't pay him to come on. He doesn't pay us to come on. He's just a professional sports gambler, and we like talking to him. And you can follow him on Twitter if you want, at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
How are things in the great nation of Canada?
Things are going pretty well right now. I mean, summer's coming to an end. It's starting to get a little bit colder. But aside from that, I think things are going just fine up here.
All right. I always like to check in to our friends in the Great White North. Last week, he gave us, it was Wake Forest. Remember, that game was moved up because of the hurricane. He gave us Wake Forest plus the points. That was actually a loser by 1 point. I think it was Wake Forest plus, plus six, and they lost by seven?
Correct. I was hoping to catch a seven at some point in the week, but it never really got there. So, unfortunately, that is what it is. But, I mean, it was a deserved loser. We got lucky with a Wake punt return for a touchdown or something along those lines, special teams touchdown. So, deserved loser.
He gave us the Bengals that Thursday night as an underdog. They won outright. He gave us Massachusetts over FIU plus four. That was a big old loser. We were on that one. That was not fun. Dolphins and Jets. He gave us the Dolphins plus three. That was a good winner for us. We had that one. Yep. And he gave us Temple over Maryland. We had that. Temple plus the points. I think Temple won outright, didn't they?
They did win outright, yeah. Two touchdown underdog went outright.
And then he had the Steelers minus the points over the Chiefs. That was a loss. He had the Bills plus seven against the Chargers. We had that one as well. That was painful. Contagious, brah. So what was it? Last week, were you 3-3? 1-2-3? 3-4 on the program. All right, you ready?
Ready to go.
All right. You told us, let's see, last week, Dolphins. I'm just looking at what you gave us. Did you watch that Dolphins game? Were you impressed with them?
I mean, typically what I do on Sundays is I watch NFL Red Zone live during the day. I'll record some other games that I have interest in, and I'll try to watch those games over the course of the week. I didn't catch much of Miami and the Jets last week, partially because Miami was up 20-0 at that point in the game, so you didn't see a whole lot of it on Red Zone. And also not, you know, I just didn't really have all the interest in watching that game after the fact. So, I mean, I look at it, I can't say that I've watched a ton of Miami this year. Obviously, they had the lightning delay in the first week of the season. Am I impressed with them statistically? No, not really. I mean, they're negative 0.2 yards per play through the first two games of the year. Typically, that's a sign of a team that's going to regress to the mean over time. They did benefit from a ton of drops last week. The Jets had a half dozen drops in that game. Yes, drops are a part of football, but there's some luck involved there as well. And also, they lost Josh Sitton for the year prior to last week's game on the offensive line. I think that's really going to hurt them going forward. So I look at Miami now. It's great that they've got those wins under their belt early on in the year, but it looks to, they still look like a below average team to me. I don't want to put too much stock into a small sample size.
All right, I'm going to have you pick the Dolphins-Raiders game in a little bit, so don't go anywhere, peoples. But you mentioned the Jets and the Dolphins beat up on the Jets, certainly in the first half last weekend. Tonight, you got the Browns and the Jets. Last I saw, Browns are -3. You have a side tonight?
Yeah, it's funny. There's money coming in on the Browns, so they're still -3, but they're up to like -3, -120, or -125. Some sportsbooks moving to -3.5. The Browns haven't won a game in over 600 days, and people are lining up to bet them because, I mean, they looked good against the Steelers and the Saints, both of whom haven't won a game yet, by the way. So those are two teams that, yeah, I mean, it's the Steelers and the Saints, but those teams have struggled out of the gate. I think this is an overreaction to what happened in Week 2. Like I mentioned just a second ago, the Jets, they didn't look good. They trailed the Dolphins 20-0. But you dive deeper into that game, I think it was a closer game than people realize. Now, it's a tough spot for the Jets. It's their third game in 11 days, so the schedule makers haven't, you know, they haven't done them a favor in any way. But I'm not sure that that truly matters this early in the season. Maybe for prep time, but not the physical toll on the body. At least I don't believe it does. I will say I've been largely impressed with the Cleveland defense, but I'm still not sold on Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback. He seems to struggle on a weekly basis. The Browns' offense is here, 4.5 yards per play. And when you put that into perspective, considering they played the Steelers' defense, which has been terrible, and the Saints' defense, which looked awful in Week 1, that's a really bad number. So for me, it's Jets or nothing. I would target Jets +3.5. If you can get a 3.5, that's the number I would need to bet the game. There are some out there. Most sportsbooks are still at 3. But 3.5 is the number I need to bet the game. At that number, I do like the Jets, or else I would just pass on it completely.
Okay. I like the Jets. I think he makes a compelling case right there. And that's more fun than betting the Browns. Anyway, you bet the Browns, you feel stupid.
Don't make me do that.
The Browns minus points, you feel stupid. Yeah. All right, let me do the local college teams here, because I do this every week with you. Friday, tomorrow, FAU is at UCF. It's a Friday night game. UCF is a 13.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I don't really see much to bet here. I think UCF is probably a bit overpriced. You have to remember they're coming off a bye week, essentially, because their game against North Carolina was canceled last week due to the hurricane. UCF's offense is going to be able to move the ball. FAU, 101st in total defense right now in the country. That number is obviously skewed because they got killed by Oklahoma in Week 1, but they've also given up 4 touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks to Air Force and Bethune-Cookman. So the defense is going to struggle. The most attractive bet in this game for me would have been on the over, but we've seen the total in this game go from 72.5 a couple days ago all the way up to 77 now. So a lot of the value has been lost. I still think that there's some slight value on the over, but it's not enough of an edge for me to bet it. I think both offenses will move the ball relatively easily, but no bets for me in this game.
All right, Saturday, Miami, the Hurricanes, they host FIU at Hard Rock Stadium. Miami is a 26-point favorite.
Yeah, I talked about this before. Anytime you see a spread this high, especially in college football, a lot of factors come into play. Personally, I think Miami's going to steamroll FIU this week, but they have bigger games on deck. North Carolina next week, Florida State coming up after that. So if this game is a laugher in the fourth quarter, there's some potential for Miami to pull starters. FIU has a chance to squeak in the back door. This is rarely why I find it appealing to bet these games that have these big numbers. FIU's offense has been good over the past few weeks, but you have to account for quality of competition. Old Dominion and UMass are not Miami. The Canes' defense is fantastic right now. They lead the nation in tackles for a loss, 35 tackles for a loss through the first 3 weeks. Opposing offenses are converting just 16% of third downs against them. This is a very good defense. People can talk about FIU being motivated because this is Butch Davis's first game as a head coach against his former program. I just don't think that motivation is going to overcome the talent discrepancy here. So I think Miami wins the game very comfortably. I just can't lay 26 points with them because there's too much uncertainty late in the game here for me.
Okay. FSU, this was a shocking line. FSU is only -10 hosting Northern Illinois, who Falero told us yesterday FSU is paying Northern Illinois $1.6 million for the visit.
FSU has been so bad this year. It's been incredibly bad, and as much of, you know, there should be a huge talent discrepancy between these two teams, but this could be another bad matchup for them because the FSU offensive line cannot block anything. We could put me, Falero, Crowder, and you, Mark, on a defensive line. We will still get pressure in the backfield against this FSU offensive line.
I would watch that game in a heartbeat. That would be great.
NIU has...
You got to double-team Crowder in that situation, huh?
I mean, you could put everybody on Crowder and give the free rush to the quarterback, but NIU has a lot of problems. The pass rush is not a problem for NIU. From that perspective, I think we're going to see FSU struggle offensively again, but for as bad as FSU's offense is, Northern Illinois' offense, they have not thrown for more than 111 yards in a single game this season. The running game has been terrible. They average just over 3 yards per carry. I don't know how Northern Illinois, scores in this game. If I had to pick a side, I'm picking Florida State. I would even lay the 10 points with them. But, man, they have been so bad that team is just on a list for me of unbettable right now, regardless of, until I see anything out of them.
So you will not bet it, or when push comes to shove, you're probably going to bet it?
Listen, there are a ton of games. There's over 50 games on the college football card every week. You got to pick your spots. And for me, I mean, there's a slight edge with FSU at minus 10. I would make them an 11.5-point favorite in the game. But that's a very small edge compared to some other stuff that we have on the card this week. I don't want action on every single game. I'm more risk-averse, like to pick my spots type of better. So they're playable, potentially. It's not something I'm going to bet.
Rob Pizzola, he is a professional sports gambler. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Crowder's Florida Gators, they are at Tennessee. Florida is a 4.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, part of me just wants to say I like Tennessee to get Crowder fired up. But, I mean, the truth is I don't have much of an opinion on this game. I swear, this is like last week. At some point, I will actually give out a pick on the show. It's not going to be in this one. Florida's main issue this year has been defending the ground game of opposing teams. They gave up over 300 yards rushing when they lost to Kentucky a few weeks back. But Tennessee's offensive line has some major issues right now. They have some injuries there. I don't think they're well-equipped to play that ball control style of game that UK did to beat Florida a few weeks ago. If I had to pick a side, I would lean to Tennessee. I think the number is a little bit too high. I'd make Florida about a 4-point favorite, but I don't have much confidence in that selection.
Okay, let's go to the NFL Sunday. The Miami Dolphins, they are a 3.5-point favorite over the Oakland Raiders, and that game is here in Miami. You got a feel?
I do. At 3.5, I would definitely play Oakland. I mean, Oakland's defensive numbers, they don't look too good right now, but they've played two offenses in the Rams and the Broncos that are averaging 6.3 yards per play this year. Those are very strong offensive numbers of their opponents. Everyone wants to talk about Oakland's defense, how they've been gassing in the second half of games this season, but again, I think it's the quality of the offenses that they've faced. Miami's only averaging 5.2 yards per play offensively, so I think the Raiders are going to look a little bit better defensively here, especially like I mentioned off the top, the Dolphins without Josh Sitton on the offensive line, that's going to be a hole for them for the rest of the year. So I do like the Raiders to look a little bit better defensively. Miami's weakness on defense is their pass coverage. I could see that getting exploited this week. Derek Carr threw 3 incompletions last week against the Denver Broncos defense. Let that sink in for a second. Now, by no means do I think Derek Carr is an elite quarterback. I don't. But Amari Cooper, Jared Cook, those are going to be some major problems to the Dolphins' defense. What worries me about Oakland here, well, obviously it's that early cross-country start time. That's not going to help. The Raiders' body clocks are going to be on 10 a.m. instead of a 1 o'clock start. Be wearing black jerseys in 90-degree heat. That's also not optimal. With these Miami start times being pushed up earlier this year, I think that gives them a little bit more of a home field advantage. But aside from that, I just don't think that there's enough separating these two teams to warrant this spread. So at 3.5, I would play the Raiders. That's my cutoff. If you can get 3.5, play Oakland.
All right. What if it was down to 3? 3, you would just not play the game?
3 is a pass for me, yeah. Okay. 3 would be a pass for me. But at 3.5, I think there's enough value there to bet it.
All right. My favorite part of the week, Rob Pizzola, 3 random plays.
All right, I'll give out a pair of college football. I've been doing that for quite a bit now, and I think last week we went 1-1 in the 3 plays for the 2 college football I gave out. But I do like doing this. I like a pair of Big 12 games in college football quite a bit this week. We'll start with Kansas State visiting West Virginia. I'm a huge fan of West Virginia's offense, as much as anyone else, but they're laying 16 points. I think that's too many points to spot here. The strength of Kansas State's team is their pass defense. They've already faced Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's passing game is nothing but big play after big play, and they were able to keep that passing game in check. West Virginia's feasted on Tennessee, Youngstown State. teams that don't have a great secondary, this is going to be a much more physical game for them. And I also like Kansas State's offensive line in this matchup. I think they can push around the West Virginia defensive front. They can keep that Mountaineers offense off the field. I just think 16 points is way too many here. I'm going to take Kansas State on the road.
All right, and the second one?
I like Texas at home to TCU. Strictly from a numbers standpoint, I think that there is a case to be made that Texas could be favored in this game and not a three-point home underdog. At the very least, I think this game is a coin flip. Yes, TCU can move the ball through the air, but a lot of that is set up by their ability to run the ball. You look at what they've done offensively in the first few weeks. They run to set up the pass. That's not going to work all that well against Texas. Texas held USC to negative 5 yards on the ground. They had 10 tackles for loss in that game. I think this Texas defensive front is very good. I think they're going to be able to get in the TCU backfield. Am I concerned about Texas's ability to score? Yes, but I see this game as more of a coin flip than anything. So anytime I'm getting a team that's a three-point underdog in a game I think is a coin flip, I'm going to bet them. I do like Texas at home to TCU.
And finally, your final one.
Okay, let's go over the NFL. I realize I have not given out an NFL winner yet this year. The three plays I've given out on the show have
actually, no, you gave us the Dolphins. You gave us the Dolphins. Don't take that away from yourself.
And the Bengals, sorry, on Thursday.
All right, yeah. You gave us two NFL winners just last week.
I'll say in this final segment.
Yes, the three randoms,
The three randoms I have not given out an NFL winner. So I hope to reverse that trend. I lost betting against the Chiefs last week. I am a stubborn human being. I am going to do it again this week. I maintain that Kansas City is not a great team. They have a great offense, but they are not a great team. The Chiefs' offense is currently masking just how bad they are on defense, and because of that, we get to play against them at an inflated number. The Chiefs' defense has given up more than 1,000 passing yards already this season. They have given up more than 500 yards after the catch. They cannot tackle. And now they're going up against a 49ers team whose head coach, Kyle Shanahan, is one of the greatest offensive minds in the league. I don't think the 49ers defense is going to win them the game here, but they get Reuben Foster back this week. That's a big bonus for them. To me, the Chiefs should probably be a four-point favorite in this game, but the average fan loves offense. They'll line up to bet KC at any number this week. That's why you see the spread at 6.5, some spots even 7. I like the 49ers this week. I think the 49ers could win the game outright, but I think they're at least going to keep it close.
Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler. You do not disappoint ever. Today, he likes the Jets plus the points tonight, right?
Jets at 3.5.
3.5.
3.5.
You can get
very
the Jets.
Particular
yeah.
about that. I mean, people want to bet the game. I understand that, but don't settle for a line just because it's a nationally televised game. 3.5. Bet it. If not, then just pass.
FAU, UCF, no real bet there. Doesn't like laying as many as 26. Miami and FIU. FSU, Northern Illinois. Unbettable, he calls it, even though he probably thinks FSU will handle that. No opinion, really, on the Florida-Tennessee game. Bet Tennessee if you want to annoy Crowder. And then on Sunday, he likes Oakland plus 3.5, if you can get that over the Dolphins. Oakland plus the points. And then the three random picks. K-State on the road. Texas plus the points. And the San Francisco 49ers plus 6.5 or 7, right?
Nailed it, Mark.
All right, there you go. Rob Pizzola. Follow him on Twitter, at Rob Pizzola. Thank you for making time for us. We always enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the games this week.
My favorite segment, although I will tell you, your friends from Funky Buddha Brewery are walking in with beers, so maybe maybe that's no longer my favorite segment.
Got
we should
cooler.
Invite him in. Invite him in, Falera. We'll take a break.
All right.
But invite him in here. The friends, Crowder's.
Bring him in.
Crowder's got good friends.
Beers in them. Mitch.
That's his name, Mitch.
Oh, yes, Mitch.
Mitch from Funky Buddha Brewery is walking in with beers. So there you go.
Hey, man, don't embarrass me.
Gambling and beers, right? So bring him in. Maybe we'll drink some beers. We'll take a quick break. I love that Rob Pizzola segment. We'll
I'm
take
hug the beer guy.
A quick break. By the way, 4 o'clock, Kurt Heelan, pro basketball talk. He's going to join us. 5 o'clock, Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel. We will talk Dolphins with him. Quick break. We'll come right back. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Radio.
This is why I love radio. This is extremely exciting because what happens is in the last segment, we talk gambling, and that is my wheelhouse. And Crowder, it's become his wheelhouse. We're having this effect on each other, I think, where I like something, and then it's just he's around me enough, he starts to like it. And Crowder's wheelhouse is beer. Man loves beer.
Well, don't make me sound like an alcoholic. I enjoy beer.
But you enjoy a good beer. Like, you know, I don't have a palate for beer, and you've been exposing me to that kind of stuff. You actually have a beer palate. Like, you. I mean, it's one of the reasons you love Funky Buddha is because you like good beer.
Yeah, I'm high class, let's say. And when you're high class, you got to drink Funky Buddha. I've been telling people for years, they just started listening.
So this is why I love radio. So we're doing the segment, we're talking about gambling. This is a guy's hour of radio, right? So gambling and then beer. Our friend Mitch from Funky Buddha Brewery, you know, they do our happy hour at 5 o'clock. That's coming up later on this evening. But Mitch from Funky Buddha stops by and he's got a whole bunch of brews. And so I'm like, yeah, bring him into the studio, Falero, and let's try a couple of these. We're doing gambling. Might as well talk a little beer, too. So Mitch and what's your title with Funky Buddha, Mitch?
Digital content coordinator.
Digital content coordinator. So
big time.
So what's up, my funky buds? you guys ready to drink some beers or what,
yes,
man?
Come yes. On. So now what do we have here? Because you've given us something here called Sticky Treats, which looks like one of those Rice Krispie treats on the bottle.
Yeah. So this is gonna be the official treat yourself beer right here. Let me tell you.
Parks
so
and
this
rec.
Is
treat yourself.
Yeah. So this is a part of our goodness series, basically our seasonal beers. So this is going to be our fall seasonal. It's a blonde ale with vanilla and rice. So it's basically, you know, the Rice Krispie Treat inspired blonde ale. Nice, easy drinking.
All right. He's already poured them for us. Shall we toast? Shall we toast, yes. Crowder? Give one to Falero, too. All right. Uh-oh. He gets one.
We can share. He doesn't need. He's too young.
You know, I mean, I'll clink bottles because it's my favorite sound effect. I love the clinking of
bottles.
Hope
you guys hear that at home.
Yes. All right. Here we go. Ooh. Oh, it makes Pizzola's bet sound better.
Oh, yeah.
Another 20 in.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. That happens to be really good. So that's Funky Buddha Brewery. That's Sticky Treats. Blonde ale with vanilla.
Yep. Rice and marshmallow. Blonde ale. It's nice and refreshing, you know. You know, you can take it to the beach.
I like it.
Pop it. Table side, do whatever you want, man.
And that's what I like about good beers is that you taste the vanilla and all, but it's still got some flavor to it. It's not just some water with vanilla at the end. I love it, man.
All right, so what's the what's the next one that you have here, Mitch?
All right, next one in, coming in hot, or I should say coming in cold, is the Last Snow.
Last Snow. We've been talking about this on the radio. You've had this a number of times before, right, Crowder?
Number of times. I don't really want to tell you how many, but a number.
So what is the Last Snow here? And again, can I just say that I am delighted to be talking about gambling and then beer? And I mean, what has happened to this radio show? What has happened to me?
Great. It's called greatness.
Yes, greatness.
It's a beautiful world we live in.
What is this Last Snow here?
All right, so Last Snow is going to be our coconut and coffee-infused porter. This is like one of we've been brewing this for a long time. It's one of our fan favorites. It's actually 2014 to 2017 Rate Beer's top 3 porters in the world. Ooh. What do you guys think?
Well, that really does have a coffee flavor to it.
Oh, yeah. We're not messing around on this one.
That happens to be very good. That's like an iced coffee.
What's the trick, man? Come on, give us the secret. What's the trick of figuring out you can put a damn Rice Krispie treat and coffee and make a beer taste that good? I need to know.
And can you put a Twix bar in a beer? Is asking for a friend.
It's all trial and error, man. Our founders, we started as a tiny little brew pub doing small batches, kind of experimenting, throwing little fresh ingredients in here, you know, throwing it in the boil, throwing it, you know, post-fermentation, doing all these experimental things to kind of get those flavors to really pop.
And what's the trick? Because that's where, you know, I've heard the genesis. I know I go to all the, I'm a Funky Buddha guy.
Yeah,
I go to the, what is it, January?
Maple Bacon Coffee Porter Festival.
Yeah. Have to go to that. But I go, so I know the story. But what's the difference between Funky Buddha and the other micro breweries? They didn't blow up like Funky Buddha. Funky Buddha's big. What's the difference? What made it jump? What made it pop?
Well, we were definitely one of the first in the game in Florida, especially, to be doing these culinary-inspired beers. And what really put us on the map, which you just mentioned, is the maple bacon coffee porter. So it's not just doing like a raspberry beer or something like that. We're doing like actual flavors in beer. Like that's a complete diner-style breakfast in a beer.
And could you have that as a breakfast replacement?
Breakfast of champs.
All right, I'm just checking. Browns or Jets tonight? Browns laying 3. I'm just having the time of my life. Yeah, having the time of my life. Why not? All right, yeah. Mitch from Funky Buddha Brewery. And, of course, they bring us the 5 o'clock happy hour every day. So 5 o'clock tonight, we'll open up the Funky Buddha Brewery 5 o'clock happy hour. These were excellent. These sticky treats and last snow. These are great. You've got one more?
Oh, I got one more.
This is a surprise. I was told 2. But listen, come on. Yeah, it's like,
what, say, come on, man. Take it easy now. He's pulling out beer.
Like when Pizzola gives us an extra bet. You're opening that right now. That almost looks like a wine bottle. What is that? What is that?
So this beer right here is a part of our Living Barrel series. So it's got a little wax top to it for a little elegant touch. This is all of our barrel-aged beers. Some of these hit distribution, but most of them are only available at our tap room in Oakland Park. This one we just released about a week ago. There are still a few bottles left, so if you want it, I suggest to head down to the tap room and grab them. But this is the bourbon barrel aged. Save some room for
that.
Later.
Valero ran in, got a little cup for himself. Yeah. All right, here he goes. And Crowder's drinking it right out of the bottle. Right. He just said it was classy. He just said they added some wax to make it classy. You're drinking it right out of the bottle.
That's a real champion right there.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping by, Mitch. Mitch from Funky Buddha Brewery. Cheers to Funky Buddha.
Cheers.
L'chaim. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back after this.
Oh, you guys, down in Miami, you got to check out Gold Rush, a proper cabaret. I was down there for the Triple G Canelo fight last Saturday. It was amazing. You got to check out Gold Rush, 77th and Biscayne. Get out to this 15,000-square-foot, newly renovated club. It's amazing. 3 levels of entertainment. Spent 20 minutes on the first level, moved upstairs, went further upstairs, and enjoyed every second. 2 main stages, multiple VIP areas if you want to sneak off. Amazing food, cold beer, great pricing. And those beautiful ladies, you know they got the ladies. I know y'all seen the story about Le'Veon Bell. He's not reporting to camp. If you've seen him in South Florida in a strip club, it was at Gold Rush. He knows where to go. You know where to go. It's Gold Rush. And for Thursday Night Football tonight, guys, go check out the Jets and the Browns at the Gold Rush. Think about watching that game but sitting next to a beautiful lady. Watching that game on a 30-foot LED screen, you won't miss a play. The full kitchen, delicious pizza, burgers, wraps. And during Thursday Night Football, $1 chicken wings. I usually get a couple dozen of them when I go. $5 happy hour till 10 p.m. Half off drinks. $16 buckets of beers. $100 bottles of liquor. $100 for Johnny Walker, Belvedere, Don Julio, Moet Imperial Brut Champagne. Everything you could think of, they have thought about the Gold Rush to make you enjoy the game. Valet parking. It is a great getaway. 77th and Biscayne. Open from 6 p.m. to 5 a.m. And when you get to the door, I'm going to watch out for y'all. When you get to the door, tell them that Crowder from 560 sent you down there. You get free entry and you get a free drink. Go check it out. The Gold Rush, a proper cabaret.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, listen to this story. As long as we were talking about gambling and beer this entire hour, FanDuel, I saw this on Yahoo Sports. FanDuel refuses to pay more than $138,000 in winnings after NFL gambling glitch. Listen to this story. So, you know, FanDuel takes bets now. In certain states where sports betting is legal, FanDuel is a sports book. Listen to this. While one gambler pocketed more than $80,000 on a $5 parlay bet over the weekend, similar payouts are being withheld from gamblers, you know, in New Jersey due to what FanDuel is calling an odds-making error. Two Jersey parties who placed wagers. The Denver Broncos Raiders game last Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, there's live betting within the game. You can do live betting. I don't think I've introduced you to that so far, but
leave me alone.
You can.
We're losing enough on unlive betting. We're losing on dead betting.
You can do live betting during a game. So as the game goes on, you know, think it like the live betting when your Florida Gators were playing Brock Berlin and my Hurricanes.
Yeah.
The live betting in that game, say in the first half, for Miami to win would have been astronomical odds.
Yes, down by 23, I think, at half.
The Broncos-Raiders game this Sunday, at one point, FanDuel put up plus 75,000 odds for the Broncos to beat the Raiders with a minute and 10 left to go in the game. Now, you remember it was a very close game, and Denver won, yeah. I think, on a field goal. It was an error, mm-hmm. because plus 75,000 means you can bet a dollar to win 75, or bet 100 to win $75,000.
Take that bet all day.
So people saw it. Like, they're on the live betting. They say, whoa, plus 75,000?
Take a chance.
Jump it in there. It was an 18-second glitch. 18 seconds it was up there. The wager in question, this is what the FanDuel director of publicity says, the wager in question involved an obvious pricing error inadvertently generated by our in-game pricing system, specifically near the end of Sunday afternoon game between the Broncos and the Raiders. The odds for the Broncos, who had the ball and were trailing by two at the time, were plus 340. The next play, the Broncos completed a 26-yard pass to position themselves to attempt a 36-yard field goal to take the lead in the final seconds of the fourth quarter, clearly positioning the Broncos as the favorite to win. At that moment in the game, our system updated the odds and erroneously posted a price of plus 75,000 on the Broncos to win the game instead of minus 600, which is what they wanted to put.
They got to pay them people, man.
A small number of bets were made at the erroneous price over an 18-second period. We honored all such bets on the Broncos to win the game at the accurate market price in accordance with our house rules and industry practice, which specifically addresses such obvious pricing errors. We have reached out to all impacted customers and apologize for the error. So if you bet $100... at plus 75,000, FanDuel is not going to give you the 75,000. They're going to give you plus. They're going to give it to you at minus 600. So what do you get? Like
20, 18 bucks,
$18.
So you told me I'm going to win 75,000, and then you come back and give me 18.
Right.
Oh, somebody got to get slapped.
Because what do you do in that? Like, have you ever done that where you're at a store and you see something that's obviously mispriced?
And you get it. Even if you don't need it, I'll buy a box of tampons if it says a buck.
I was expecting that to go. I don't really know why.
Stores have to honor that. I know Publix does.
No, I understand. I just don't know why you're browsing the tampon section was really the
problem. You know who's in the tampon section? No men. Y'all gotta think, man. You gotta think.
And they're not pregnant.
I'm telling you, man. They're available and ready.
Because I know you do have to, I think stores are supposed to honor prices even if they're mispriced.
They do.
But like if you were at Best Buy, and because they don't have price tags anymore per se, but if they've got something coded wrong and you're buying headphones, you're buying Beats and they're $300 headphones and it rings up at $29.99, say, and the person says behind the counter, hey, this is an error, and the tag out front said $29.99. Would you say, no, it's marked $29.99, it's ringing up $29.99, that's what I'm paying?
We got action. I do that, though. I do it at Publix all the time. It happens a lot with the eggs, because they have eggs, organic eggs now, brown eggs, large brown, medium, extra large. They have a bunch of eggs, and they'll come up the wrong price. Give me my eggs, man.
Yeah, but it's a bigger, like, this is $75,000, so that's like going to get FanDuel's, a Maserati.
FanDuel's a big company. Like, they put the price up there.
If it's your money, are you going to, what is it, some scientific project or some kind of mathematical equation they put into some?
I'm sure it's like some AI thing where it generates live, because there can't be someone at every game, every second putting in whatever. So there's some kind of algorithm that generates what it's supposed to be.
So if your algorithm messes up, you just come back at the end and say, oh, my bad, our computer's messed up. You don't get 75,000.
Right,
you get 18.
I'd like to do that with some of my losing bets. Like, we bet the Bills last weekend. I'd like to call my guy and go, you know what? I didn't mean that. That was obviously a mistake. Did you see the way the Bills played? It was obviously a mistake.
They should get sued. Is that a rule?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to.
Because that's not plus 200 to 18. You know what? You get a 90% cut. That is a crazy amount different. 75,000 to 18 bucks. So you're telling me I can move. I could pay off my house and my car to I can go get dinner?
Anthony Prince first came forward to News 12 in East Rutherford, New Jersey, when he went to collect an $82,610 payout on his $110 wager at the Meadowlands. The teller at the ticket window reportedly refused to honor the bet. According to Prince, they eventually offered him $500 and skybox seats for three New York Giants games. That takes nuts, man. That takes a pair of nuts, right? I know we owe you $86,000. How about three skybox seats for the Giants? Worst team I've ever seen. And here's $500, too. He refused, taking up the issue with the New Jersey Division of Gaming. They said their system had a glitch in it, and they're not obligated to pay for glitches. The other guy said, you should take what we give you because we don't have to give you anything at all. I said, wow, for real? The government is taxing it now, so I thought it would be a better situation. You'd rather go to the corner bookies now. You're not getting paid here. Likewise, friends Mike Guerrero and Chris Colanco told News 12 that they received $56,325 in their FanDuel account on Sunday after making the same plus 75,000 wager online. By Monday morning, FanDuel had revoked the payout, replacing it with the minuscule return on the minus 600 odds. Oh, could you imagine seeing it in your account for a day? And then you go the next day? If you looked on your bank account online, though, and there was an obvious error, six-digit error.
Move it.
I was just going to say, would you go get that money right then, move it, make it harder for them to get it back?
Yeah, I would move it out of that bank. I wouldn't just move it to savings. I would put it somewhere else.
Right. Not switch accounts. Like, get it out of that bank.
Yeah, come get Big Papa Bear.
Because here's my cutoff on this. If it's a person, a mom and pop business, and it's going to cost them, I'm all for, hey, you guys made a mistake. I'm not going to put you through the ringer. If it's a big business like FanDuel or a bank, you make an error, I got no sympathy.
I just got my check from the Orange Bowl committee for our Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I went and got cash that check. Not coming to get this back. This is cash, baby. I got it in a shoe.
Okay, that's a reimbursement check? Like you
I
actually,
don't, but they might have messed up. It was more than I gave them.
But you
they
turned
added money
in
on,
your
but they
expenses.
Added, they added more money than I turned in.
No, they didn't.
I don't know how they did it. I was like, what is this big old check for? Oh, this is getting cash, and this is going in my Jordan.
That's because you don't know what you turned in for reimbursement
this
because
is going
Valero
in Jordan.
Did it for you.
I know one thing. If they come in my closet and get my Jordan, they're going to get their money back. But if not, they're not. Do you want to put in your account? Don't even open my account, ma'am. Cash this check. And low bills, no hundreds, 20s.
You are a clown.
I'm serious.
You are a clown.
Coming to get my money.
Kurt Heelan is going to join us in the next segment. He of Pro Basketball Talk and NBCSports.com. I guess we got to talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler, right? What are the chances that Jimmy Butler would actually end up with the Miami Heat? I don't know. Reminder, too, you could join 560 WQAM's Joe Rose Saturday, noon till 3 at the 2018 Car Show at Seminole Casino Classic. The event is free. It features unique cars of all makes and models. There'll be food trucks, music, and entertainment. Plus, new wildcard members will receive $100 match play or up to $200 free play. Must be 21 to be a Seminole wildcard member. That is with Joe Rose on Saturday. Kurt Heelan from Pro Basketball Talk going to join us momentarily.
Tried to hide my money at Delaware. I bought too much. It was too much. The prices are too good, man.
You stuffed a turkey with your money.
It's like I couldn't even buy enough. It would all get bad because the prices are so great. Key West pink shrimp only $10.99 a pound. Tilapia filet $6.99 a pound. Danish baby back ribs $4.99 a pound. Ground turkey breast only $3.99 a pound. The prices are amazing. You got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Don't stash your money there. Just get delicious food. Thousands of South Florida families have made Delaware a tradition. tradition. I know the Crowder family. My family eats 3 meals a day from Delaware. And if you go once, like I did 13 years ago, you're going to be back again and again and again. Get to Delaware. When you go in, first thing you're going to see is the eggs, the fish dip, the crab dip. Don't miss them because they're delicious. They have all the marinades and seasoning. They have crackers all around, conch salad, potato salad, macaroni salad, bean salad, and then your lamb, beef, veal, and pork. The lamb chops and steaks, they'll cut them as thick or as thin as you like them. Poultry, duck, and turkey. Lobster right there. Then all your crustaceans, your oysters, your scallops, your clams, and then 15 different type of shrimp. Like I said, the Key West pink shrimp, shell on. I just bought some, $10.99 a pound. Made some pasta the other night. Then you come on around the corner on that back wall is all the fish. 20 different species, some filleted, some whole, some smoked. You got to get to Delaware. Go to DelawareChicken.com and get the entire menu. You go in the freezer back there. Frog legs, alligator meat, venison, escargot, everything you can think of, guys. DelawareChicken.com will tell you exactly what they have, the entire menu. When you find out what you want, call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Your order will be packaged and ready when you get there, saving you time, saving you money with those prices, giving you a delicious selection. It's Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. When you get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.